UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the Pfizer vaccine means a return to normal in 2021. And it's no longer just a hope after the UK became the first country in the world to approve the widespread rollout of a COVID-19 vaccine.
It is almost a year since humanity has been tormented by COVID. Across the world, economic output has plummeted and 1.5 million people have died. All the time, we've been waiting and hoping for the day when the searchlights of science would pick out our invisible enemy and give us the power to stop that enemy from making us ill. And now the scientists have done it. And they've used the virus itself to perform a kind of biological jiu-jitsu to turn the virus on itself in the form of a vaccine, in an idea that I think was pioneered in this country by Edward Jenner in 1796. And today we can announced that the government has accepted the recommendation from the Independent Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency to approve the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for distribution across the United Kingdom.
And that was Boris Johnson talking there. Now, Sarah Bosley is the health editor of The Guardian. She joins us for more on this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Interesting listening to Boris Johnson. There is a sound of huge, well, is it desperation, relief? This just could not come quick enough for the UK government, could it?
No, you're right. It's been absolutely terrible in the UK, as I'm sure you know. And they have been desperate to get a vaccine because, of course, it's causing the terrible, you know, economic problems, social, cultural problems. Everybody's miserable and we're in winter. So, you know, we're desperate to have a vaccine. And so this is fantastic news.
Talk me through the process here. So this has had emergency approval. It hasn't gone through the normal mechanisms.
No. Normally, even now, we would have to go through a regulatory approval process in line with the European Medicines Agency. Even though we're pulling out of that, we're still supposed to be under their auspices. But what they've done actually is not separate. What they've actually done is to use a provision that is allowed in Europe, which is to say, you know, hey, this is a national emergency and we will use special regulations to approve this vaccine. So it's something that any country within Europe could have done. It's not just to do with Brexit.
So how many doses first up and who will it go to?
We're going to get 800,000 doses first of all. That's the delivery. And we've got a very strict prioritisation that's been arranged by the proposed, I should say, by the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation in the UK, which is independent. So they are saying that the first people to get it should be those residents in care homes and the staff who look after them, followed by the over 80s and NHS staff. And then down, really, in reverse order, down the age brackets, but including people who are particularly vulnerable because of, you know, their health conditions. But there is a problem here, actually, because the vaccine is not easily transported and deployed. So what we've got coming are boxes containing 975 doses or so that can't be easily split up. What they're going to have to do is take these to sort of hubs, as they're calling them, of hospitals, and then they're going to try to work out safe ways that they can split up those packs, because if you're going to get the care home residents, you're probably going to have to go to the care homes. They can't come to you, which may mean that actually the prioritisation doesn't quite work out as it's supposed to.
And they have to be at a certain temperature, don't they? 70 below?
Yeah, indeed. And that's the issue. That's exactly what I should have said. It's minus 70 they have to be stored at, so they're frozen. And once they are thawed, they can remain at ordinary fridge temperature, which is 2 to 8 centigrade, for about 5 days. So, I mean, that's a help, but it's still tricky. So logistically, they're saying this is going to be very difficult.
This isn't the number one vaccine either, is it, that the UK has sort of bet on? The Oxford one is still to come.
Yes, the UK has bought 40 million doses of this vaccine. And I think that now they're going to be very glad they have. The Oxford one, as you say, is the mainstay, we hope, of the vaccination program. The UK has ordered 100 million doses of that. It's also supported its research. So that one is coming along, and the Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Authority, which is, Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Authority, as they call themselves, the MHRA, is now looking at their data, and also the data from Moderna, which is the other company that's finished its phase three trials. Moderna's a US company, and no doses are going to come from them until March, probably next year. But the Oxford one should be available much quicker, and that has the advantage also of not having to be stored in a frozen state.
What is the reaction from those who oppose vaccination, the anti-vaxxers? Have they said much yet?
No, we haven't really heard anything from them, or maybe it's just because nobody's reporting it. Those people are not sort of organised in a way that sort of enables them to give statements to newspapers. It's really social media discussion. So what we know is that there are quite a lot of people who are maybe a bit anxious about these new vaccines because they're being developed so fast and that the approval is being given in this extraordinarily quick way. So you can see that quite a lot of people would worry about it anyway, and there is that contingent of people. The anti-vaxxers themselves, the people who are opposed because they think they're in some way harmful, they are very few in number, actually, and as I say, mostly communicate on social media. So they do have an effect in the chatter, I guess, but there's a much bigger contingent that we need to worry about. And those are the people who just need reassurance that this is completely safe.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. Sarah Bosley there, the health editor of The Guardian.